upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Well, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. Welcome to Technocracy News and Trends. This is Patrick Wood, Editor-in-Chief. Today is August 16, 2019. There will be a day when all wars will be fought, or at least can be fought, autonomously without human intervention. I hate to think of the time when this might actually take place, but there have been dystopian movies that describe such a scenario in the past 10, 15 years. But the military continues to march forward with automatic weapons of one sort or another. And although they protest greatly that these weapons will never be just turned loose to autonomously target and kill people, it seems to be going in that direction every day. And I would also point out that there's never been a weapon created in the history of mankind that was not eventually used in battle. So technocrats and the military have long since joined forces to provide scientific engineering solutions to every conceivable problem that might come up in battle. This is very dangerous because there's no end to spending money. There's no end to the research. There's no end to ideas that keep coming up. And technocrats build because they can, not because there's a moral certitude to do so. The headline of the story is Army developing AI missiles that identify their own targets. This is a very interesting weapon that's being developed by the Army. But the article starts out, the U.S. Army is working on a new artillery shell capable of locating enemy targets, including moving tanks and armored vehicles. The shell, called Cannon-Delivered Area Effects Munition, or CDAEM, is designed to replace older weapons that leave behind unexploded cluster bombs on the battlefield that might pose a threat to civilians. The shell is designed to hit targets even in situations where GPS is jammed and friendly forces are not entirely sure where the enemy is. In the 1980s, the U.S. Army fielded dual-purpose improved conventional munition artillery rounds, or DPICM. It was basically the concept of cluster bombs applied to artillery, when a single shell packing dozens of tennis ball-sized grenades or bombs. DPICM shells were designed to eject the bomblets over the battlefield, dispersing them over a wide area. The bomblets were useful where unprotected infantry troops could knock out a tank or armored vehicle's treads, weapons, or sensors, disabling it. The DPICM made artillery more lethal than ever, but there was a cost nobody foresaw. Unexploded dud bomblets often littered the battlefields, becoming a danger to civilians long after the war was over. An international movement to ban cluster bombs and artillery came about, and though the U.S. isn't a signatory, it has pledged not to use munitions with a dud rate greater than 1%. Dud rates for such weapons often reach 5% or more. Hitting tanks and armored vehicles with artillery from long range is hard, but DPICM made it easy. Now that DPICM is gone, the Army wants something new to replace it. Something that trades showering an area with bomblets with an artillery round that intelligently seeks out enemy targets on its own. That new weapon is CDAEM. Now, this is a new type of weapon system that combines drones along with artillery shells that actually are missiles. The drone can fly over a battlefield, determine what targets need to be destroyed by itself using artificial intelligence, transmitting the coordinates back to the artillery center, where the coordinates are put in, where the shell, that is the missile that's fired through the barrel, is configured and programmed. And once the shell is fired, it becomes like a homing missile that locks in on the target, even if the target is moving, and then makes mid-course adjustments to strike and destroy the target, and only the target. Now, on one hand, you might think this is a very clean way to extract an enemy force from the battlefield, and it probably is. The problem is that the artificial intelligence identifying the targets in the first place is artificial intelligence, not real intelligence, but artificial intelligence. The Army claims that it's going to reduce the incident of collateral damage in a battle zone, that it's not going to use these cluster bombs anymore, and that's fine. But using artificial intelligence to automatically target, or let's say autonomously target, without direct human intervention, is extremely dangerous. And the military is moving in this direction. We've known this for a long time now. They've said consistently, no, we'll never have autonomous killing machines. And then they turn around and do something that proves they're working on it. So we can't trust the military or the technocrats working in the military to tell the truth about anything. Maybe they don't know, actually, that they're going to eventually end up at that point. But they are, and they do. My guess is they know exactly what they're doing. And they feel like they're only obligated to discuss the work that they've done thus far, rather than talk about the futures of it. But every weapon system that's ever been created by mankind in the history of the world has eventually ended up being used in battle to kill people. So we need to be aware, at least, that the Army is doing this. There's not much we can do about it, but it certainly does point out that technocrats are alive and well, and that they have long since made a pact with the military to exercise their trade, to practice their craft. The next story is titled Transhuman Quest, AI Chips Implanted in Brain. And by now you've probably read a little bit about Elon Musk's idea to implant a computer chip into your brain, linking artificial intelligence into your cognitive brain. And he's got a product, a company called Neuralink. It's a neurotechnology company. He's poured millions of dollars into this over a period of time. And this neurotechnology company revealed his plans to develop brain reading technology over the next few years. One of the goals for Musk's firm is to eventually implant microchip devices into the brains of paralyzed people, allowing them to control smartphones and computers. Although this Black Mirror-esque technology could hold potentially life-changing powers for those living with disabilities, according to cognitive psychologist Susan Schneider, it's not such a great idea. And I can't help but feel relieved. I'm with Schneider on this. That's the writer of the story here. Musk, who's also the chief executive of both Tesla and SpaceX, aims to make implanting AI into the brain safe and commonplace as laser eye surgery. But how would this work? In a video unveiled at the California Academy of Science, Musk said the implant would record information emitted by neurons in the brain. So Musk has made the claim that it's possible to translate the neurons in the brain, the communication between them, into bits of information of machine-readable language that can be externalized to the brain. That is, it can be downloaded and processed. The article goes on, the tiny processors will connect your brain via tiny threads, significantly thinner than a human hair. These sensors will fit on the surface of your skull and then relay information to a wearable computer that sits behind your ear, called the Link. With all this in place, your brain can then connect to your iPhone via an app. We are truly living in the future, and it's terrifying. Musk isn't the only person radicalizing the future of our brain. For example, Ray Kurzweil, the futurist and director of engineering at Google, said he expects that we'll be able to back our brains up to the cloud by 2045, ultimately making us immortal. Now we come to the heart of the story. This story that Musk has cooked up with Neuralink has very little to do with real science. It has to do with transhumanism. Transhumanism is a religion that is spread widely through the technocrat community, because it, like technocracy, is based on scientism as well. Scientism proposes that the only source of truth about reality is discovered through science. And the transhuman community, which before technology advanced like it is today, was basically a metaphysical religion. They've used advanced technology to try and achieve immortality for themselves. The idea is they can download their brain out of their computer, save it into the cloud, and then re-upload it into another device or another Android or another person, allowing their consciousness to live on forever. This is crackpot science. There's not one shred of evidence that the soul of a person can be downloaded into a computer, much less re-uploaded again. And in any case, every person since the beginning of mankind has died. There hasn't been one person that's lived forever, except perhaps one, and that would be Jesus Christ, who was resurrected from the dead 2,000 years ago. These transhumans that are trying to achieve immortality are doing themselves a disservice, and everybody else too, because science is being misrepresented. It's being way overstated that these metaphysical propositions can be proven and put into practice by advanced technology. It's just simply not going to work that way. It's also interesting to note that Ray Kurzweil hasn't been heard from in a while. He is the director of engineering at Google. Google has been in the news. We've run several stories here in the last few months on Google and what they're up to. This is the company that intends to overthrow the U.S. government and take control of the electoral process. Google is a very dangerous company to be operating within the boundaries of the United States. But Ray Kurzweil, nonetheless, is the number one transhumanist probably in our country. He's given more speeches, created more organizations, written more material about transhumanism than anybody that I know. And I think most transhumanists would consider Ray Kurzweil to be the leader of the pack. There is no doubt that Ray Kurzweil is a certified genius. Musk may be as well, but Kurzweil has a list of patents as long as your arm, maybe both arms. He was a genius from the day he entered high school, and he's still a genius. He's invented things that people have no idea that he invented. Ray Kurzweil, as a matter of fact, was the inventor back in high school of the Kurzweil electronic synthesizer. You say, well, where have I heard that before? Well, if you've ever been to a concert or you've ever been to a church service where there's musical instruments on stage, look at the label on the front of the keyboard and you will see most often Kurzweil. That's him, Ray Kurzweil. He invented that way back when, and he's got a long list of inventions ever since. He's a very rich man, by the way, and he didn't need the money when he went to work for Google. Far from it. But he went to work for Google because Google has such engineering and scientific prowess that he knew if he could get his hands on directing that kind of an engineering platform, he could make some serious, serious headway into achieving his precious transhumanism, escaping death, achieving immortality, living forever. Well, I'm sorry, Ray, and I'm sorry, Elon, but you're going to be disappointed in the end. Your research may provide some benefits to mankind, but it's not going to be immortality. That simply is not going to happen. The last story will make you smile. I saved this one for last because with all the bad news floating around, you need to smile once in a while. And this is a good one. In Ireland, the state in Ireland has been after a national ID card for a long time. And for that matter, so is the United States. It keeps getting shot down in the United States, but it keeps coming back again. A national ID card would give every person in America a unique chip-embedded card that would identify you and contain information about you. And that basically would be your passport into anything that had to do with society. Now, I don't mean passport to travel, but passport to get anything done within the nation. And so the technocrats behind this idea figure that if every person has an ID card and it's embedded with a chip containing all kinds of information on the person, why, that would be the perfect way to track all activity of the human as they go about their business in daily life. This is a technocrat crackpot idea again. Fortunately, in the United States, it's been shot down left and right. It's still moving forward, and it's probably going to happen at some point unless citizens rise up and say no. But in Ireland, where data has already been collected on 3.2 million citizens that live there for a national ID card, well, the technocrats have been shot down. This was their holy grail. That is the technocrats' holy grail, to track all human activity. The article states, the state has been told it must delete data held on 3.2 million citizens which was gathered as part of the rollout of the public services card, as there is no lawful basis for retaining it. In a highly critical report on its investigation into the card, the Data Protection Commission found that there was no legal reason to make individuals obtain the card in order to access state services, such as renewing a driving license or applying for a college grant. While the card will still be sought from people accessing some services directly administered by the Department of Social Protection, such as claiming social welfare payments, the commission's report represents a major blow to the scope of the project, which has proved politically contentious and faced strong opposition from data privacy campaigners. Helen Dixon, the Data Protection Commissioner, told the Irish Times that forcing people to obtain such a card for services other than those provided by the department was unlawful from a data processing point of view. Well, Helen, if we had an award, we would put your name on it and send it to you, because you have done a wonderful thing standing up for what's right. The article goes on, it has directed that the department cease processing applications for cards needed for such functions. Ms. Dixon said there had been a fundamental misunderstanding of what was permitted by the legislation underpinning the card. This means that the technocrats within the state just went ahead and did whatever the heck they wanted to do without respect to what the law said and allowed them to do. That wasn't sufficient for them. They said, we'll just go ahead and do it this way anyway. And now a courageous civil servant has stood up and said, you guys have overstepped your bounds and hit the delete button. You can imagine that the technocrats there are just grinding their teeth, because remember, technocrats love data. They can never get enough. It's like the new oil of the 21st century. It's the wealth that they have. Even if it's not money, data is power. And technocrats love data. They lust for data. They hoard data. And now some technocrat is going to have to hit the delete button to delete the data on 3.2 million citizens. And if that doesn't just warm the cockles of your heart, I don't know what will. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Have a great day. We'll see you next time.